Alleluia, Christ is risen. Night has passed, and a new day is beginning. For this third and final time in the Gospel of John that Jesus appeared to the disciples after being raised from the dead, we watch the story unfold at the edge of dawn after a long night. No longer locked in an upper room in Jerusalem, the disciples have followed Peter and returned to where it all began, their fishing boats. The familiar rocking of the boat on the water. The familiar weight of the nets as they cast them. The familiar smell and taste of the sea air. They passed the night seeking familiarity and normalcy in the wake of an upheaval even greater than that which had caused them to leave their boats in the first place, the death and resurrection of their friend. When life-changing things happen, it is human nature to seek that which is familiar and mundane, to let ourselves operate on autopilot, as it were, let the known ground us. And it works to an extent and for a time. But the thing about life-changing events, be they joyful or awful, planned or the ones that blindside us, is that they change us, and they change how we live our lives. Just as the darkness of night gives way to light, the change is inescapable. What do you do after Jesus appears to you in an upper room, after you've touched his hands and put your hand in his side? Do you immediately go out and tell everyone near and far this story? Do you seek out the other groups of friends hidden in locked rooms around the city? Or traveling down dusty roads? Do you remember and then begin doing the work that Jesus called you to do, knowing what you know about his life and his death and his life again? I can only imagine how overwhelming it must have been for those disciples. How do you begin again? Where do you start? Without Jesus by your side, where will you get the strength to continue this journey? We know that the Holy Spirit is coming, that this group of faithful, imperfect men and women will be given the spark needed to set them on the way, living into the change that they had been called into and changing the world along the way. But they don't know that. And so in their joy and in their disbelieving belief and lingering confusion, they leave the city and go where there is stillness and silence and space to think and to listen. It doesn't go as planned. It rarely does, after all, when Jesus is involved. They are out all night, but they catch no fish. And then the dawn comes. They see a man on the beach. He tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. What difference should that make? Is it not the same sea, only a few feet to the right? But they do not balk, they do not doubt. They cast again, and suddenly their nets are so full as to burst. This is the least of the miracles that they have witnessed in recent days, and yet it is enough to open the eyes of the beloved disciple. It is the Lord, he shouts. Upon hearing this, Peter dresses quickly and jumps into the sea and swims to shore. And the rest of the crew follows, in the boat, dragging that net so full of fish. Many in the early church have found this story of the beloved disciple and Peter as two distinct but necessary aspects of faith. St. John Chrysostom wrote, When they recognized him, the disciples, Peter and John, again exhibited their different temperaments. The one was fervent, the other more contemplative. The one was ready to go, the other more penetrating. John is the first one to have recognized Jesus, but Peter is the first to come to him. Neither recognition nor action alone constitutes authentic faith. And thus, one needs to unite the best of Peter and the best of this beloved disciple, John, if one is to be a person of authentic faith. This is once again what Jesus reminds them and calls them into as they gather around that fire on the beach. Taking bread, he gave it to them, and did likewise with the fish. This is not simply a riff on the Last Supper, nor even on the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. No, this is Jesus present with them again, serving them, nourishing them, this one final time, and not only with food, but with grace and with a nudge. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times he asked this question, and three times Peter responded with a heartfelt yes, to which Jesus replied, feed my sheep. Three times Peter had denied Jesus on that awful night. And on this morning, we see Jesus lovingly offering him the grace of not only his forgiveness, but of how to live a life of reconciliation. Follow me. Feed my sheep. Recognition and faithful action are the first big steps on the life-changing journey of Easter people. Because we are changed, how we live in the world changes. That's often easier said than done. I mean, it can be just as hard for us, if not harder, as it was for the disciples to recognize Jesus when we see him. And life and the brokenness of the world are just as overwhelming for us as it was for the disciples. So where do we start? How do we begin? What action should we take? I believe that the place we start is together. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them." Always. Never forget that. I believe that we begin together, discerning how to follow Jesus and to feed his sheep. It means to care for each other, yes, but it also means that we continue Jesus' work of loving and feeding those on the margins of society that will otherwise go hungry. This is the vision that we discerned as a parish family. We seek to follow Jesus in his boldness, courage, and compassion. And continuing, we encounter the holy through gospel-inspired service, working side by side with our brothers and sisters in the wider community. We engage in this transformative ministry in communion with the larger church and in collaboration with all who share our vision, our resilience strengthened by the grace of God made known to us in the self-giving love of Jesus Christ. We are beginning to work out what this means for us, how we are putting action into this Easter faith that we have recognized. Some ways are well known. Today is the second Sunday of the month, which means it's an open door dinner Sunday, a time when anyone who is hungry in our community will come to our parish hall and be fed. Some ways are newer. Next Sunday, we will have a team of children, youth, and adults from All Souls participating in the Berkeley Crop Walk for Hunger, raising funds for Church World Service to address issues of poverty around the world. And some ways are yet to be recognized. To follow Jesus means we must keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to the world around us. What is it that you see? What is it that you know? Will you be like the beloved disciple and shout out so that the rest of us will see and know too? Will you be like Peter and lead us into action? Being Easter people means that our lives are changed. It means that we are ever changing. It means that we can change the world through our witness. This last week, a group of pastors and priests in Tennessee did just that. In response to proposed state legislation that would tie welfare benefits to children's grades in school, as well as the state's rejection of the Affordable Care Act, this group of 150 clergy not only signed a letter of concern for the least of these among us, they brought to the office of every member of the Tennessee General Assembly a basket containing 2 loaves of fish and 5 paper fish on which had written different Bible verses calling on members to help the poor and to take care, fund health care. Their witness, along with the courageous action of many children, most notably an 8-year-old girl who followed the bill's sponsor around the state house all day long, led to the withdrawal of this anti-poor legislation. The struggle over access to health care is ongoing, but people of faith have found their voice, and I trust that they will continue to use it. Just this morning, author and theologian Diana Butler Bass posted this reflection on Facebook, and I think it strikes to the heart of what it means for us to live as Easter people. She said, "I used to think that I wanted to change the world. Lately, I've realized that it's far more important to understand how the world is changing and how to live powerfully and witness to God's love and justice amid these changes. To this, I say yes. That is living into reconciliation and resurrection. The sun has risen, and a new day dawns. Wake up. Grab some coffee with Jesus. Break bread. Be fed, and in turn, feed others. This is Easter. Alleluia."